Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church on this beautiful first Sunday in Advent. I hear we have some snow falling down outside. How picturesque is that? And thank you especially to our handbell choir for being with us today. That was absolutely lovely. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, it is the last day for the youth group fundraiser today. Yes, last day for the youth group fundraiser today. Second of all, the UMW annual Christmas gathering is coming up shortly. It will be on Wednesday, December 11th at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And there will be some wonderful carol singing and some wonderful cookies, so come enjoy that. It's mobile meal time, and we have 2 weeks beginning Monday, December 23rd. There is no delivery on Christmas Day or on New Year's Day, but I know that Lou would love help delivering all of those meals, and what a wonderful thing for us to do at Christmas time to help those around us. And lastly, the Salvation Army bell ringers are needed. I am told that our church is above average because we take more slots for the Salvation Army bell ringers than most other churches do. So we need to fill them. That's awesome that we do that. I was told we are above average, which is exciting. So we have the Piggly Wiggly and the Century on December 20th and 21st. So sign up for that in the Fellowship Hall. Those are all of the announcements that I have. Are there any announcements I missed? Jeff, you had one. That's right.
You just did my announcement.
I did?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so
sorry. That's
all right.
But I know people out here are envious when they see us standing up here ringing bells like we are. So you don't have to be a member of the bell choir to ring bells. You can sign up for the Salvation Army bell ringing, and the sign-up sheets are in Fellowship Hall. So we'd appreciate your help with that. Thanks.
Will Tom orient me to ringing the Salvation Army bells? Yes? Okay, sounds good. Well, then I feel confident in it. Will you stand and join me in singing, "O Come All Ye Faithful"? What I do. Thank you. I knew I forgot one. Mary reminds me that the offering envelopes are here for 2020. Don't use them until 2020. And if you don't have some and would like some, Mary would be happy to hook you up with some offering envelopes. I think those are all of my announcements. Please stand and join me in singing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." We're going to sing verses 1 through 3, and Tom will cue us because we get to sing with the piano and the organ and the bell choir, which is going to be phenomenal. Verse 34.
Please join me in our praise. God has done great things for us. God's love is heralded in promise of Christ. Holy is God's name. God's promises are fulfilled in the coming of Christ. God's mercy extends from generation to generation. God's salvation is offered in the gift of Christ. Let us pray. Come, long-expected Jesus, excite in us a wonder at the wisdom and power of your Father and ours. Excite in us a joy responsive to Mary and Elizabeth's joy. Let us seek your will so we can serve with gladness, singing, and love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join in singing O Come, Emmanuel, number 211 in the red hymnal.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. Come join me over by this cool thing here. So the song that we just sang, O Come, Emmanuel, is actually meant to count down until Christmas. It's one of the few songs that we have in the hymnal that counts down until Christmas. It's actually supposed to represent the different days coming up to Christmas. You're supposed to sing one verse every day beforehand. But another way that we count down for Christmas is this. Do you know what this is? No? Maybe? You have a guess? It's good. Yeah, it starts with an A.
Advent wreath.
An Advent wreath. Exactly. You guys are on it. This is an Advent wreath. And an Advent wreath dates back to sometime in the 16th century. But the modern wreath with Advent candles was first developed by a Lutheran pastor and missionary, Johann Heinrich Wichtern. And he founded a school for poor children in Hamburg, Germany. And one year, the children kept asking him when Christmas would arrive. Do you ever ask your parents when Christmas is coming? Sometimes? Maybe? Yeah, you're like, how many days left? Do you ask about your birthday? Countdown your birthday? Yeah, I do too. And so he came up with a clever way of telling the children when Christmas would arrive. He used an old wheel, and he placed 20 small red candles and 4 white candles in a circle. And they lit one candle every day. So the more candles were lit, the closer you were to Christmas, right? The red candles were for Monday through Saturday, and the white candles they lit on Sunday. And thus the Advent wreath was born. So that's how it started. And I think those school children really understood what Advent represents. It represents a time of waiting and expectation, like we wait for Christmas, right? Because on Christmas morning, Jesus comes, and that's exciting. And who else comes? Santa. That's also exciting. Lots of excitement. And Santa brings us presents because Jesus was a wonderful present that was given to us. Cool, huh? Do you want to help me light this Advent candle? Or this Advent wreath? Sure. We'll learn more about it throughout the season of Advent this year. Learn a different thing every week. So this week we learned how it was born. And the adults are going to help us too. So if you guys turn in your bulletins, and I wrote down your one line for you in big. So today we light the first candle of the Advent wreath. Each candle has a meaning. Congregation? Candle means hope. Why do we celebrate hope?
The Bible tells us to be waiting
for the Lord. Good job. All right, we need to borrow a candle lighter. And who wants to get some? You want to light it? Okay, so we'll go over to our two candles that we lit earlier. And then today, we light one of the purple candles. So you can pick which one. A little bit longer. There we go. Perfect. Nice job. So by the time we get to Christmas, the big one in the middle will be lit. That's the last one we light. Kind of cool, huh? So we've got 4 Sundays left. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me, please. Holy God, thank you for Advent. Help us to wait patiently for the excitement of Christmas Day. And most of all, thank you for the gift of your wonderful Son. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys can head back to your seats. And while you do, we're going to sing. There's a really cool Advent song. It's 2090 in the black hymnal. And we're just going to sing verse 1. We sing a different verse every week throughout Advent, which is kind of cool. I'm going to give you a brief behind-the-scenes tour into one of the many ways that I decide what to preach on. A couple months ago, I was on Facebook on a young United Methodist women's clergy group that I'm a part of, and different people were talking about what they were planning to do for Advent for their sermon series, and one of the people asked if anybody had any ideas for doing a sermon series on the five senses. And I thought, oh, that's cool, right? And another person spoke up and said, well, I did a series on that, and here's some of my information. I thought, So I took that idea, and I modified a little bit from what they were doing with it. And so we are going to do a sermon series based very loosely on the five senses. We're not going to get to all five. As my brother pointed out, smell was a problem. especially since I decided to theme this series on the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? He said, Do You Hear What I Smell? Or Do You Smell What I Smell is a terrible name for a sermon, Claire. Thank you, 26-year-old brother, for that one. We're not going to do that sermon. but today we get, Do You Feel What I Feel? So that's the sermon title for today, based loosely on the five senses. And I decided, based partially on the suggestion of this group, to bring you all a little something to help remember these sermons. So you will be getting a little item to take home with you. It's a take-home sermon series, where you get to use the sense over the next 4 weeks. So I hope you will enjoy this sermon series based on Do You Hear What I Hear? Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, thank you for all of the different ways that we experience Advent and Christmas. Thank you for all of the different ways that we can get closer to you. We pray that in this season of Advent that we would feel your joy surrounding us each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. God, add God's blessing to this, the reading of God's holy word. I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday. I love the fresh blanket of newly fallen snow. I love all the beautiful greens hung everywhere. I love singing beloved Christmas carols with loved ones near and far. I love the feeling of magic that seems to float in the air. And I also absolutely love giving Christmas presents, but I am not very good at it. The first Christmas present I remember giving, my father and I purchased for my mother when I was just under 3 years old. My mother had been hinting that she needed a new pair of snow boots. So my father and I snuck out while my mom was busy, and we headed to the local mall where we picked out the perfect pair of snow boots. All the way home from the mall, my dad attempted to coach me on how important it was not to tell my mom because these were a secret. When we got home, my dad and I carefully wrapped the package before hiding them away to surprise my mom with on Christmas morning. As I was cuddled up next to my mother that evening on the couch, my dad started teasing her about the Christmas present we had bought. He said that she was really going to like it and was about to attempt to throw her off the trail when I turned to my mom and proudly said, It's boots! Despite all of my dad's careful coaching, I didn't quite manage to keep it a surprise. I understood the concept in theory, but my execution was a bit shaky. To this day, I am still bad at surprises, especially waiting for Christmas. I like to listen to Christmas carols and watch Christmas movies starting the day after Halloween. I begin decorating for Christmas as soon as Corey will humanly let me. And yes, I still have a hard time not telling people about Christmas presents. Just this week, I bought my husband an ugly Christmas sweater I meant as a Christmas present and ended up giving it to him the minute I got home. Today, we are entering a new season in the life of the church. Today, we begin the season of Advent. The word Advent derives from the Latin word meaning coming. It's a time of waiting and anticipation. It's a time when we're meant to experience that night before Christmas excitement for 24 days. It's also the beginning of the Christian year. Last Sunday, we quietly celebrated Christ the King Sunday, the final Sunday in the Christian year. Today, we celebrate Advent, and a new year has begun. In the Christian church, we choose to start the beginning of the year with a time of waiting and watching, of joy and anticipation. It is also often a season of stress, of trying to complete the almighty to-do list, a time of challenging family politics, a time of traveling to loved ones near and far. As we enter into this season of waiting and joy, of challenges and stress, we turn back to look at the story and life of two women who would have understood both. Together they speak just 284 words in the book of Luke and share one of the few dialogues in the Bible between two women. Their stories are very different. One was the wife of a prominent priest. She had lived a good life, but had never gotten the one thing she wanted. The other, a very young woman, never married, just beginning her life journey in the sleepy town of Nazareth. These two women were cousins who were about to experience the shock of their lifetimes. First, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, goes to the temple in Jerusalem, where he is chosen at random to perform the priestly functions by entering the Holy of Holies, a section of the temple where God was believed to reside, and offer incense. While he is inside this holiest section of the temple, an angel appears to him and tells Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth will give birth to an amazing son who will be named John. John will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will prepare the way for the Lord. John later becomes known as John the Baptist. Zechariah is naturally so surprised that he questions the angel about whether or not this is even possible. Both he and Elizabeth are well past childbearing age, but the angel angrily responds that it is true. And since Zechariah did not believe the angel the first time, Zechariah's power of speech will be removed until his son John is born. When Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, her young cousin Mary was equally surprised by a visit from an angel. The angel tells Mary that she too will give birth to a miraculous child. This child will be named Jesus, and he will be the Son of God. Mary too questions the angel out of confusion, saying, "How can this be, because I am a virgin?" The angel replies, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." Then the angel drops a second bombshell. He tells Mary that her cousin Elizabeth is pregnant even in her old age, proving that nothing is impossible with God. Mary humbly replies, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Then the angel leads her. I can only imagine what Mary must have been feeling in this moment. The beginning of any pregnancy is a moment of joy and anticipation, but I can also imagine that Mary felt nervous and overwhelmed. She was going to give birth to a very special child. She was very young and not married in a society with little patience for single unwed mothers. Mary had every right to feel like it was all too much. The author of Luke tells us that the first thing Mary does after being told she would be the mother of Jesus, God's son, was to go quickly to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And the moment that she arrived at Zechariah and Elizabeth's house, Mary called out to her cousin. And Elizabeth felt the baby John leap for joy in her womb. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. She cries, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Scholars have long argued about why Mary would have immediately chosen to visit her older cousin Elizabeth after being visited by the angel Gabriel. They have often wondered if Mary was testing God to see if what the angel Gabriel said was true. They have posited that Mary may have thought, if it could happen to Elizabeth, then it could happen to me too. But I think the answer is much simpler and much more human than that. I think that Mary was overwhelmed and scared. I think she was worried about how people would react to her pregnancy. She was worried that as a single mother, she would never be accepted by her friends, family, or fiancé. I think she was worried about all the things that new parents tend to be worried about. Will I be able to provide the kind of life I want to for my child? Will I be enough as a parent? Will I be able to raise my child to be the kind of person I want him to be? And on top of all this, Mary was raising no ordinary child. She was raising the Son of God. So I think she sought comfort in the one person she could think of who might understand what was going on in Mary's head. She went to see her older cousin, who had more life experience, who was also in the midst of a miraculous pregnancy. And as she walked in the door, I can only imagine that Mary held her breath and prayed that Elizabeth would believe her unlikely explanation of Mary's arrival on her doorstep. But Mary doesn't even have to explain herself. The second she walks into Elizabeth's door, Elizabeth feels joy unlike anything she's ever experienced. And she just knows Mary's story. She knows that Mary's son will change the world. Not only does Elizabeth immediately know and express joy at Mary's pregnancy, she accepts Mary as she is. Elizabeth declares her blessed and her son blessed. In a single moment, she helps to reframe all of Mary's apprehension and fear into joy and anticipation. In my opinion, it is no accident that after visiting Elizabeth, Mary sings her famous song of joy about God's goodness, the Magnificat. Have you ever felt that kind of joy? The kind of joy that causes your heart to leap, that fills you with warmth from top to bottom, the kind of joy that drives away every fear and apprehension you might feel, leaving instead confidence in yourself? This is the kind of joy we feel when we wake up on Christmas morning and find the perfect present under the tree. It's a feeling of knowing and being known by those we care about. It's the feeling of knowing that we have received the greatest gift anyone could ever give, the gift of Jesus, come to earth in the form of a perfect tiny baby. It can be tempting this Advent season not to focus on joy, but to focus on our fears and apprehensions and stresses. It can be tempting to focus on our to-do lists and our conflicts. But Advent is a season where we're supposed to put aside our fears and our frustrations with the realities and challenges of the world. Not because they aren't important, but because we can find radical hope and joy in the midst of adversity. Throughout the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about different ways we experience Advent and Christmas through our senses. And I have brought with me today a little early Christmas present for all of you. I hope over this Advent season, when the stresses of life threaten to overwhelm you, that you will squeeze this little stress ball, and it will help you feel joy in the midst of the challenges of this season. I hope it will remind you to find the Elizabeths in your life, those people who offer you a word of hope in the midst of struggle, those who will trust you, love you, and declare you blessed. Amen and amen. Will you please stand and sing with me in the red hymnal number 196, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Am I back? I second-guessed myself. We talked last week a little bit about apportionments, which are a portion of our giving that support ministries around the world. Last week, we learned a little bit about some of the things that happen globally through the Board of Global Ministries, and this week, we're talking about how apportionments impact our neighbors here in Wisconsin. We all know my biases, and this is one of them. So this is a wonderful video produced by our United Methodist camps. This is actually where I received my call to ministry, is at Pine Lake Camp. It's my spiritual home. So watch this wonderful video about some of the wonderful things that camp is doing.
Some people say that a time at camp, each day is like a week, each week is like a month, but every day should feel like Saturday. It's like one giant backyard that we get to be a part of. It has shaped my kids into very special individuals, and it has created a family environment that I can't really compare to anything else.
Everything I knew about faith came from my church community that had 30 worshiping members. My parents were the Sunday school teachers. We had a youth group of me. So camp was my opportunity to meet new people, get new perspectives, see that there was a world outside my little small town. It fundamentally changed my life.
We don't just do all the activities that other camps do. We can be great at a lot of things, but I think the thing that we have to be the best at is growing people in their faith and show them love and grace and forgiveness on a very basic level, because I think that's what Jesus was trying to teach us.
There isn't really an opportunity like this in our typical faith lives to find folks from across different communities that all come together for one time, to experience faith together, to have that experience all together for that moment, and then to disperse and take that back. And that's really special to me. We are a small camp. We know that, and we own it, and we wear it proudly. And there are so many positives to being a small camp. It's the relationship building. It's the community pieces. It's that you are known when you're here.
Each camper, we get to know their name, and through phone calls and emails with families, we get to know their situation.
I, as a site director, know all the kids. My cook knows all the kids. Our maintenance guy knows all the kids. All the counselors know everybody. And so we're one big community.
It's not like school. It's not like sports. It's not hyper-structured. It's intentionally unstructured that we allow them to have creativity and to enjoy different recreational activities kind of at their own pace without a really rigid schedule, so they can just be free and be creative and hopefully just relax a little bit.
It's really incredible to me, the transformation throughout a week. You know, you get 5 to 8, you know, kids who either don't know each other or maybe a couple of them come in as friends. Then you get to Thursday and you couldn't tell who came here together, who, you know, came by themselves, because it's just like everybody's great friends.
We see kids that first come to camp, or even before they come to camp, they come with their parents because they're worried or are unsure of what this environment's going to be. But by the end of the week, they don't want to leave, or they say they want to be on staff when they get older, because they feel this sense of community that's here that's different from anything they experience anywhere else.
The essence of who we are is our small group times and the hugs shared between people just kind of spontaneously because they care. Or those kids who don't necessarily fit in, but here they do fit in. Just even like after leading worship, when somebody prays and you just know that that was a heartfelt prayer and everybody starts clapping, which is not really what you would typically do, but that's just what we do because we care. That's what we struggle to put on the front of a brochure, because it doesn't look flashy and it usually just looks like people hanging out. But that's really where the depth of this place is in people interacting with each other and living together and caring about each other.
Here in Wisconsin, we have 2 United Methodist camps. We have Pine Lake Camp, located in Westfield, Wisconsin. We have Lake Lucerne Camp, located in Wautoma, Wisconsin. They're absolutely amazing places. Colin said at one point another camp changed his life. Camp changed my life in so many ways I cannot even list it. I met my husband through friends who I knew from camp. We had 3 different people who were in our wedding who I worked with on camp staff. Who were in our wedding party, not to mention countless others who were present with us on that day. It caused me to work 2 terms in AmeriCorps with kids, specifically with programming and right and after school program. It allowed me to go down to Arizona where I worked and went to school in an outdoor education program, which I never would have done without that. So it sent me on a completely different trajectory than where I thought I was headed. And that's one of the amazing impacts that particular ministry has. Local congregational development is something else that falls in this category. The Commission on the Status and Role of Women. We in our denomination keep very careful track of what's going on with people who identify as female. And COSRO specifically monitors who speaks at annual jurisdictional and general conferences so that we can become more inclusive to women, but also to people who identify as minorities or people who are not native English speakers. So that's one of the cool things that we do, is we're always working to include more and more people at the table. And spiritual formation and leadership development. There's just a lot going on with the conference with that. And all of our apportionment dollars go to support those things and many, many, many more things. So, yeah, a little bit more about them. So, and we're working towards making sure that we fulfill all of our apportionment giving for this year. So I'll try to give you an update on that next week if Gina can help, yeah, and Mary can assist me in that. I'll tell you where we're at. But all right. Would the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings? Freely we have received from God. Let us freely give.
Please join me in our prayer. Holy One, this Advent season, we wait in hope and we give in hope. Hope for your coming reign. Hope because of your presence with us even now. Receive these generous offerings and use them for your work of healing and hope in our world. Amen.
Right. I would like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning. I have a couple to start us off. First of all, we have some beautiful altar flowers today. Absolutely gorgeous. And they were given in loving memory of Roxanne Akala. So we remember her today. And I also received information from Judy that Dave Regala went into the hospital this week. He had a couple falls. He is now in rehab in Baraboo, so that's where he's going to be for a short time, and then they're going to make some decisions about where he's going next. He's, of course, really hoping to come home, so we'll all pray that that happens. But they're looking at maybe a potential of assisted living, so they're sort of in the difficult decision time about that. So we pray that he heals quickly and well, and that he is able to come home soon. So, are there any other prayers? Mm-hmm. Yes, we pray for the family of Kurt Mueller. Is that the correct? I speak German, so I tend to go to the German. We pray for his family. We pray that they would know in their time of grief how many people he impacted in his life and how much this community supports. What? Mueller? Yes. I was told, and I get the local newspaper, so now I'm totally informed. Great intel.
I'll just mention that Susan served with us.
Yay! God is good. It is wonderful to see you. Are there any other prayers? Well, for our candle prayer today, I know that we've already passed Thanksgiving and we're into Advent, but I am going to take a moment of privilege to use our wonderful candle prayer to say a little extra thanks myself. There have been a lot of people in the last week who have put in a lot of time to transition us from Christ the King Sunday to Advent, from Layla in the office doing some extra work while we hosted Thanksgiving, to a whole team of people who put all of these wonderful decorations that we have up, to all of the hours that went into preparing this handbell music we've gotten to listen to. So for all of the wonderful ministries that we have going on in this church, and for all the people who quietly make sure that a million wonderful things happen to make this place joyous and beautiful, we pray. Holy and amazing God, you are known by many names. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. Holy Lord, during this season of Advent, we pray that we will be able to find the joy in the midst of the stresses. We pray that you will truly live up to your name, Emmanuel, that you will be God with us, among us, each and every day. Today we pray particularly for all those with health concerns. We pray that you will surround them and you will strengthen them day by day. We pray particularly for those who are experiencing cancer. We pray that you would lead them, guide them, guide the hands of the doctors and nurses, that they may grow stronger and become cancer-free. For those who are in long-term care facilities or home confined, we pray that they would know in this Advent season that they are not alone, that they are surrounded by wonderful people who care about them. We pray today for all of those who are experiencing grief. We pray that they would know your strength, your peace, and the strength and peace of your community in the time of their sadness. And we pray particularly that you would care for all of those who are away from home this holiday season, all of those who are traveling, all of those serving in our military. Care for them and guide them that they may remain safe. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is always a good Sunday when we get to celebrate communion together. In the United Methodist Church, you need not be a member of this church or of any United Methodist Church to celebrate communion. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. I find it very interesting that two of those things are things that are on our Advent wreath, love and peace. Will you please join me on page 13 in your hymnal? This first part here is the Sursum Corda, where we lift up our hearts. It is the oldest Christian hymn that we have. So, an appropriate thing to say at Christmas time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in victory, in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Would the ushers please come forward? And then once we're in place, we'll invite all of you to come forward and receive communion from us. And on your way back, make sure to grab yourself a little stress ball so you can find joy in the midst of the stress. Oh, and it's gluten-free, which means I can eat it. as we go forth, let us remember to find unspeakable joy in the midst of this Advent season, knowing that when we reach Christmas, we're going to have the greatest surprise of all, Jesus Christ laying in a manger. Amen.